my father was a high-ranking communist in Poland, in Polish government, but I really didn't have much contact with him until I was 16 years old because of the poverty. I had to be sent either to orphanage or to live with my father. And eventually father agreed to take me in. I lasted there only 1 year before he kicked me out. But by this time, my ideals were shaped by my mother, by my mother's family. And so when I went up there, the first question I asked him, like, so if everybody loves socialism so much, which I don't see among my friends, but as my father, so, but what about those people who do not support socialism and communism? What about them? Well, the answer was very quick and simple. We need to eliminate them. So, and the way we say how? Well, the first, we're going to ban them. We're going to cancel them. We're going to remove them from society, basically, intellectually. So it happened, you know, the statues were removed that did not support socialist ideology. The books were removed from the libraries and banned. But so I say, well, okay, but what if they still don't like socialism? Well, that is the final solution. Then we gonna just physically exterminate them because they are in the way to of progress to socialism and communism. They are such a great states. So that was his ideas, my father's ideas. That you know, you try to convince them, but if they don't buy it, you arrest them, cancel them, put them in jails, and eventually that doesn't help. You just kill them.
All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Drago, and as his Navy SEAL name. Very interesting background. I've had him on before. We talked about his book, Pledge to America. He came to this country from Poland. And today we're going to talk about some other issues besides his background story. But his background story is truly amazing, how he came to America, how he volunteered after 9/11. And how he, at a pretty old age for Navy SEALs, became a Navy SEAL and then continued as an instructor for quite a while. So joining us now is Drago. Thank you for joining us, sir.
David, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, always a pleasure to talk to you. Very interesting story. I loved your story, and I loved your pledge to America. Let's talk a little bit. We talked for a great deal of time, and you said, yeah, I'd like to talk about what is really happening now in America. We talked about your background. You said, I'd like to talk about what is going on now. And of course, a lot of things have happened since you've been on. I would like to get your take on, you know, what are the key issues in front of us right now when we look at something, for example, like Ukraine? How are you looking at this war now? We've got so many people have said, let me get your take on it. What is your take on what's going on with Ukraine?
First, our administration needs to stop lying to us. Russians are not losing the war. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Ridiculing Russian forces is totally misplaced now. It is the worst propaganda that is outright stupid. You know, we have generals, our generals, repeating stories like that the Russians don't know that they are in the war in combat. They think that the command told them that they are going on exercise, and they are on exercise. You know what? Only imbecile could believe that. And this is being repeated by not only generals but our press from the left and right. That's absolutely not true. And the Russians know very well where they are and what they are doing. It is pretty deliberate. They're not trying to take over at this time entire Ukraine. They just want to secure their interest. But we need to understand that Putin is not some kind of rogue idiot and somebody who doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, that's our guy.
Please remember this.
That's our guy who doesn't know what he's doing, an idiot. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
you know that... I wouldn't tell our guys idiots, but you know, it seems like they know what they do. They just lie to us.
Yeah.
And basically, they ruin Ukraine with the stupid advices or stupid moves up there. Please remember, Putin almost single-handedly rebuilt Russian Empire. He is supported by 80% of his population.
Mm-hmm.
And also what we are not being told, or we are ignored, that Russia is no longer a communist state.
Yeah.
They are... They have same oligarchs like we have here, like we have Romney, like we have John Kerry. That's not different. Mm-hmm. So that war did not have to happen. And President Trump is absolutely right. But when we start talking about Ukraine membership in NATO, of course, Russians don't want to have NATO directly on their borders. So that was one of the accelerators to the war. And then please remember, there was agreement signed between Ukraine and Russia and then Great Britain, that idiot, what's his name?
Joe. Boris Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, so that buzzer went in and canceled everything for Ukraine and Russia. So now we are in war. Mm-hmm. But again, Russians are not losing. Please remember that Ukrainians lost over 400,000 people in combat. Mm. That for a small nation, this is not really something that you can ignore.
That's right.
And so now, today, the average age of Ukrainian soldier is between 40 and 50 years old. Wow. You see, I went to the region quite a few times, so, and I had a chance to spoke to my Ukrainian friends. I had a chance to speak to my Ukrainian friends, Polish friends, Germans, French, and the consensus, people who are there, who understand what's going on, is we are in the wrong place and wrong time.
Yes. I agree. And from the very beginning of this, you know, you talked about how many Ukrainian casualties they had. I remember at the very beginning of this, there was some Indian generals who were talking about the military aspects of it. And they weren't on either side, really. They were just kind of third-party observers. And they said, it looks like the plan is to fight them until the last Ukrainian. And that appears to be the plan. They're using these people as surrogates. We had Chris Christie when he was running. He said, well, I think that's fine. You know, look at how much we've cost the Russians. I think we need to double down and do even more of this stuff. I mean, it's like they have absolutely no regard for human life. They have absolutely no concern about a broader escalated war. And I think
everybody's concerned.
Yeah.
This administration, with their advisors and with their ideas, ruin Ukraine. Please remember, the Soviet Union is no longer a socialist state. They kicked out communism to the curb a long time ago. Now, there is and the large contribution to this is coming from President Putin. He basically made Russians free again. Yes, there will be always 5 to 15% of society, just like in our society, that will oppose and they will revolt and they will not agree with what I'm saying. But in general, he is supported by almost or over 80% of his population. And you can see it. Russians love their country. What we must also remember, which is very important, and I think it is very important, that Russians are very patriotic.
Yes.
They, mm-hmm. yes. Their idea in their society is Russia first. Mm-hmm. Well, here you try to say America first, you see what happened.
Yeah.
This is how backwards it is. And this is why we just trying to bring NATO into this conflict now I think is totally ridiculous, and seems like this administration is gunning for the war, for the major wider war. Yeah. Sending troops to Ukraine right now is basically fighting by our regular units fighting Russians, and this will lead to escalations, and they will lead to major war, not only in Europe, but we might have finds attacked on our own soil. So we need to understand that. And again, Russians don't hate their country.
Yeah, yeah.
Russians love their country. And this is something Biden administration doesn't want people to know.
That's right.
Another thing about this conflict is food control, food supplies. Please remember that Ukraine is known as a bread basket of Europe. these fertile grounds can feed entire Europe and still serve with so much surplus that is being sent to Africa. So I would just, I'll look it up some of the statistics here. And most of these lands are no longer owned by Ukrainians. They owned by Western entities. So somebody is vying for control of the food supplies in Europe. So let's take a look here. The Kernel company, owns by Luxembourg, registered in Luxembourg, owns 360,000 hectares, not acres, hectares. The company is owned by 90% by oligarch, I think Verensky his name, and other U.S. banks and funds. Ukrland Farming. No one knows who owns it, but there is almost 607,000 of acres. Nobody knows really who owns it because all financial data and servers were destroyed.
Wow.
MHP, Cyprus company with 340,000 hectares. TNA Corporate, U.S. company with 200,000 hectares. NCH company, U.S. company with 200,000 hectares. PIF, Saudi Arabia, Astrata, Holland, from Holland. So most of the majority of profit does not go to Kiev. It goes, it's being transferred overseas. Mm-hmm. And if Ukraine would join Western, would come in closer ties with Western countries, those land would be controlled not by Ukrainians, but would be controlled by whoever is trying to gain control of food supplies for Europe. But you can just see how this structure, the Ukrainians don't own it anymore. Hmm. Most of it is owned by overseas and profit goes overseas. Again, President Biden, I was listening to his disastrous State of the Union, and he says we need to send money, more money to Ukraine. That's only an imbecile can say, because not understanding that Ukraine needs not so much money as people to fight the war.
Yeah.
I guess, like I said earlier, their average age of Ukrainian soldiers between 40, 50 years old, they don't have enough. They are actually snatching people off the street and pulling them in the army, kids, old people. So the average between 50 and 60. So think who is that? That's just a median. What's the oldest people right now snatched into the army and serving? Yes. So the equipment, even if they get it, they don't have people to operate this, unless this is U.S. Western entities that comes in and there. And hopefully they are not the regular forces, because it will escalate.
Yeah.
Putin is not bluffing.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
We have nothing to back us up. We cannot sustain prolonged expanded deployment to Europe. We can barely sustain what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, please remember too that our recruitment is down, and there were the people are army. It is not only army that was so widely publicized, but it's also in the Navy and Air Force, in Marines. So now we have one side with very patriotic pro their country people like Russians who will not back down, and then we have here people who refuse to fight for our country because they were taught in universities and schools that we are racist,
yeah.
We are bad, we shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
And the division which was created recently within the last 4, 8, 10 years, dividing us again between black and white and between this, between that. You know what, when I remember when I joined the Navy, the first thing that we were told is that we all have one color. It is red, white, and blue.
Yes.
We don't look at each other on black, white, yellow, pink. We right. just wear red, white, and blue. This is color of our hearts. And we have only one country.
Mm-hmm.
So now think about it, how I don't think as very strong now, because we have in our Congress, we have people who have no loyalty or very or double loyalty to, they have loyalty to America and Somalia or other countries.
Yeah.
Why do we have people with dual citizenship in our government?
Yes. That's what I'm
saying. We need to ask ourselves.
And you look at what is happening at West Point. I talked about this yesterday. They want to get rid of duty, honor, and country. And it's like, what's wrong with those three things, right? We're going to replace it with army values. And one of the things that they say, and that is, well, you know, even more as much as the duty, honor, country, is the fact that the original pledge or what motto, whatever it was, but it was a paragraph that they had this cadets memorize. And in it, they were saying service to our country, you know, in the army and that through the army or whatever. Now it is service to the army and to our country, whatever. So it's more focused on this bureaucratic institution than it is on serving the country. To me, that is as significant as the fact that you'd remove duty, honor, and country. I mean, what, which of those words, or is it all three that they object to? I'm not really sure.
There's a trend. I think everybody can see it now.
That's right. All to the universities remove, and even the academies. Yeah.
Yeah. Remove any national cohesions, remove any patriotic feelings. Basically what I think ultimate goal is just what happened in Europe. And I'll just come back to it in a second, to get rid of the citizenship, rid of national pride.
That's right.
And replace it with just dweller. So we will not be Americans living in America. We will be just the dwellers living in America. And when I had a conversation with a German friend, so when we talk, I said, well, so you Germans, it's like, don't call us Germans. This is offensive. I'm European. I'm a member of European Union. German is a right-wing propaganda and right-wing term. So you must not call me a German. I'm offended. So, don't you see our direction with this going here?
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. So this administration is disastrous. But I would like to say, because it really bothers me, when I look at my country, my America, I see that never in the history of civilization has a nation declined more economically, politically, socially, militarily, immorally, and globally over such short span of time as the United States of America since Biden took office. I mean, think what is happening. We have a perverts in our schools, pole dancing to our kids and reading them books in schools and libraries. Perverts, pornographic books.
Yes. And if you speak out against it, you are the extremist.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a man masquerading as women, frequenting our daughter's wife's bathrooms. You know, paint stripes on the zebra doesn't make it a horse. You can put wig and lipstick on yourself. You are still a man. You still have X. There are difference between XX and XY chromosomes. You can't transmute one to another. So you're either man or woman. You cannot. There is no such thing like transitioning. You don't transition to anything. You just wear the wig and lipstick. That's it.
That's right.
And want us to believe that you are a woman. You know, it becomes so perverted, so sick, that nowadays young generations, boy, at least I teach my son, before you start dating a girl, you need to ask, have you always been a girl? Because you might find out that that is not the case and you just ruin your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if somebody wants to see, I fought for this right. If a man wants to go and wear the dress, lipstick, and wig, call himself woman, more power to him. I don't really care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But start harassing my kids in the bathroom.
Yes.
When we start pushing the mutilation on our children and the surgeries, the sex change and life altering surgeries, that's evil. That's pure evil. So
it is. So it is interesting. I just talked about it yesterday. The suicide rates double after their what they call their vaginoplasty and everything. And that was part of the rationale for taking away parental rights. Well, we got to do, and you know, the parental rights attack has been there for a very long time. It was nearly 20 years ago. I was doing videos for the Children's Health Defense Organization as a spinoff called parentalrights.org. And they were trying to get in a constitutional amendment for parental rights because the UN had a convention on the rights of the child, and every other country on earth had signed onto it except for the United States. But in the United States, it was being pushed through with activist judges and at some local political levels. That didn't happen, but now it is happening. You know, that has been there cooking under the surface, and they've been kind of subtly preparing things. And now all of a sudden, boom, it burst onto the scene in a very rapid expansion. And it's been there for quite some time. They've been talking about, you know, all this, even going back before the rhetoric of Hillary Clinton and It Takes a Village. They've been working for decades on undermining parental rights because they wanted to get straight to the kids.
Yes, it is one step at a time.
Yeah.
But see what happened, the whole process accelerated because these goons, that cabal was exposed by President Trump. They don't have much time. People are waking up. So they need to do as much damage as possible, the damage that may not be able to undo. And again, this is not Democrats versus Republicans and vice versa. This is good versus evil. We have plenty of evil in both parties. For example, Murkowski, Romney, Liz Cheney, that dude swallow well, sleeping with Chinese spy with the prostitutes.
Yeah.
And he is still in our government.
Yeah.
So for me, he is as good as a spy, you know. Mm-hmm. So swallow well, who sleeps with the Chinese spies, prostitutes. We have a Schumer, we have a jihadist in our Congress like Omar and Tlaib. We cannot move forward to fix our country until as long as we tolerate evil. That's and right. Those are evil people. There's more of them.
I agree. Before we get any further, I want to talk to you about the border and things like that. But before we leave Europe and Ukraine, you know, we've looked at this, and from the very beginning, I was saying it, Gerald Slinty, who's a regular on the program, was saying, you're not going to beat Russia. I mean, they defeated Napoleon, they defeated Hitler, and that wasn't that long ago. And as you're talking about, it's a gigantic country. People are very patriotic. They're very happy with the changes that Putin has made. And so you're not going to be able to defeat them and that type of thing. But, you know, is it your judgment that this is a deliberate setup, a deliberate provocation? Because 3 years before this began, you had an interview with, and of course, this all really kind of goes back to the coup in 2014. But, you know, Zelensky ran for on a platform of peace, and he had a guy, I don't know if you're familiar with him, Alexander Arestovich. And he was eventually kicked out because bombs that hit an apartment building. He said, well, he told the truth. He said, no, it was hit by some of our anti-aircraft stuff. And then it veered into the building. It wasn't necessarily a target of this thing. And so they fired him. But he was also very candid 3 years in advance. He was their guy they sent to the peace process. And he came back and did an interview with Ukrainian television. And she said, what's the prospect for peace? And he said, none. Oh, that's terrible. He goes, oh, it gets worse. We're going to have a full-on war with Russia in 3 years, in 2022. And she said, that's horrible. And he goes, yeah, the whole country is going to be devastated. But he goes, the good part of it is we get into NATO. It seems to me, looking at it, I'd like to get your take on it. It seems to me like this was a long-term plan that they had. And what do you think? Is their plan to continue to escalate this so they can have a direct war with Russia? Do they really want a world war? What do you think?
I don't think there was a plan at the time, the time you mentioned, to start a war with Russia. I think there was just try to bring Ukraine into NATO, and they knew that the Russia will oppose, so they was just try to do to backdoor to different ways of basically the our administration and Western Europe instigate this entire affair. They wanted to bring, and they were hoping that they can bluff and they can scare Russia and they can bring Ukraine in. Well, it didn't happen. Russia went and took it what they believe that's... please see now. I mean, they are in state of war. Mm-hmm. Ukraine is not joining NATO. is not going to join the NATO unless we start a full-scale war with Russia. And Russia is no longer that backwards communist state it used to be. We will be fighting very modern, well-equipped Russia, and we are not prepared. Look at our forces. Now, they are more concerned with the perverts in the military. They are more concerned with pronouns than with our fighting force. I mean, disintegrating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that officer, the space cadet, who was saying, you know, we got to get our pronouns right just a couple of weeks ago. It truly is ludicrous. And yet, you know, they talk about the domino theory. And yet, if you're the Russian people, you're the Russian side, you look at all these different countries that are coming in and joining NATO. And, you know, they're adding more that haven't done Ukraine yet. But, you know, they've added, Finland and Sweden and things like that. You look at it and it's like, well, that looks like a domino theory. It looks like, it looks like somebody is on the move and somebody is getting aggressive. And it's like, what is even the message, the meaning of NATO before this, all this stuff began? I mean, is there really, why did they need to even continue NATO? And why are they expanding NATO so rapidly? What do you think?
I don't think NATO may survive this escalation here, not necessarily even the war, because what I suspect what is going to happen, the Russians just get tired. They still try to make, they try to negotiate. That's true. Mm-hmm. They still try to make it somehow amicable. Well, it's not going to happen under this administration. So Russia's finally say they will get tired. They will just take what they need to take. We are bluffing. We are not be able to do anything up there. Mm-hmm. So I think we are in a very bad spot. But please remember, this is the same cabal. I'm talking about this administration. This is the same cabal that gave us Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
They murdered our ambassador. They killed two of my teammates.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same cabal that fled Afghanistan. They fled in such a hurry, they left thousands of our and allied citizens in Taliban hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same cabal trying to manage Ukraine. It's a joke.
Yeah.
And, think about it, who is running our country? We have a mentally impaired man who is being led and guided by his wife because he cannot make up the stage. You think he's making any shots?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it is not fun to laugh at our president, but it is quite, and it is quite sad that this elder with serious mental deficiency is being abused by his nefarious wife and his handlers.
Mm-hmm.
Those who enable it, they should be prosecuted for elder abuse. This man doesn't belong in the White House. He belongs in the some facility, care facility for elderly people now.
Yeah,
this is how bad it is. So it's just, I think We need a change. We need a real leadership in our country. We need to go back to our values. Patriotism is not, is nothing wrong with being patriotic American, but we are being now portrayed as the right wing crazies. You know, if you are pro America, if you call yourself proud American citizen, you are being called crazy and right wing extremists. I mean, think about parents demanding real education for kids are being branded by FBI as criminals.
That's
as weaponization of our state entities. That's not different than the country I escaped from. The same. This is the same thing. They will intimidate. They will raid your families, your home, and because you are inconvenient politically to the state, to the system. I mean, we need to wake up because we are going the same path that Russia went in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution.
I agree.
So we are in a dangerous spot. We should worry less about Ukraine and more about our southern border, because is just it is crazy. This is.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the border. I'll just say this, you know, it's kind of like with a lot of these things, sometimes there is a silver lining. You know, we had all the schools locked down and kids were doing Zoom class and everything. Finally, we got a chance for parents to actually see what was going on in their classroom. I've had that conversation with people for 30 years and telling them what's happening. Oh, but that's not in our school. You know, they could believe that it was coming out of the federal government. They could believe that it was even a state government or that school board or whatever, maybe even in the same school. But I got a good teacher in my classroom. Well, the Zoom stuff, they could finally see that. And the thing about Biden, I guess a silver lining for Biden is people can look at Biden and they can understand the president's not the one who's running this show. There's somebody behind him. You know, who are these people really? Who is the shadow government that's really running the show here? You know, because it certainly isn't Joe Biden. So that's the only possibly good thing that coming out of this is that to kind of dispel that idea from people that he's the one in charge. There is a cabal, like you pointed out, and it's the same people that gave us Benghazi and the disaster in Afghanistan and all these other things. But let's talk about
yes.
Sorry.
They in the disaster in Ukraine, this disaster yep. in Ukraine is not only disaster for us and Western Europe, it's disaster for Ukrainian even more, because I don't know if this nation will be able to rebuild itself after what this administration did to it.
Yes, yes. And again, that's another part of it. You know, when I look at something like this and you could look at the fact that you've got all of these big corporations that are mysteriously operating, as you point out, we don't even know who has the second largest holding there. But, you know, so what is their goal? Is it just really to get monopoly pricing on this stuff? And yet, if that really was their goal, why are they having this war on this farmland there, especially when you have the possibility of having cluster bombs or you have depleted uranium, which pollutes the land, you know, forever, basically? You know, why would you destroy? It seems to me like there's also an aspect of trying to destroy that farmland. And it seems to me like a lot of these globalist cabals want to, just as they do in the Netherlands, they want to destroy the farms. They want to take them by, you know, putting the farmers off the land. They want to, consolidate everybody in the little cities and control the food distribution, all the rest. Perhaps that's a motivation for what's going on in Ukraine as well, do you think?
Well, it's not only in Ukraine, it's in our country too, in America, you know, mm-hmm. Western Europe, and in Ukraine too. Ukraine is the most important part for them, because the entire fertile lands in Western Europe do not match the Ukrainian fertile lands. Mm-hmm. The biggest, I think, food supply for entire Europe and Africa. So yeah, they want to take control of it. I don't know, by the ruining, destroying it, or just having control of it, but this is not good. And this is the same thing is happening in our country too. You can see Chinese citizens buying our lands, farmlands, as also our oligarchs too. Mm-hmm. So.
And destruction of food infrastructure, just like we saw in Texas, you know, and all these other things happening. And so much of that stuff is happening. You have to ask yourself, is this a coincidence? Or is this a plan? Because they really do want to control our food supply, and they want us buying their lab food that they are going to take control of and deliver to us as they see fit to do it. I think that's a big part of it. But let's talk about what's going on at the border, especially. Why isn't it that you've got all these people? I get very frustrated. I hear the Republicans talking about it, but they don't build the wall. They don't finish the wall. And then even when we look at what is happening in Texas, it is one city, you know, Eagle Pass. They've got a big presence there, but you just go, not even a mile away from it. Many reporters have gone. And there's nothing there, and there's wide open areas where anybody can come in. So there's a lot of theater that's going on with all this stuff. What do you think it's going to take to get this done, get control of the border?
Well, before we think about what can be done, let's just try to ask the questions why it is being done.
Yeah.
I believe that ballot stuffing may not work this time. The COVID virus may not work this time for Democrats or for the cabal behind this, behind it. For voter fraud may not work. So the borders were open to the hordes. The new scheme is to count non-citizen, I call them Biden's inviters, for congressional seats and electoral votes. Democrats are also working to give Biden's inviters voting rights.
Yes.
So
they count them as part of the census and then do the allocation for that. And so if they bring them into these particular states, then all of a sudden they can inflate the number of congressmen coming from that state, and they can pack the Congress. That's one way to do it. They always want to do that. FDR wanted to pack the Supreme Court. These people talked about packing the Supreme Court. Well, they can pack the Congress as well, and they can use foreign citizens here illegally to do that.
Yes. And again, as I have seen in the communist country I escaped from, once socialists run the country, once they have established fraudulent elections, you will continue to have fraudulent elections because state entities will be, like they are here now, being weaponized, targeting political opponents. We see what is happening to President Trump right now. I mean, in my opinion, there is a bimbo, a prostitute, who doesn't even remember when she was assaulted and how it happened. And she won, what, millions dollar a lawsuit. That's not the criminal case, so he's not that he's but she wanted money for what? She doesn't even remember what happened. But this is how perverted it became eventually, and this is just the beginning of the of you starting the socialist way of thinking.
Yeah, I think everybody sees that it is a selective prosecution on these cases, that it is politicized, that you know, they have committed, in many cases, committed the same crimes, and there's not anything brought against them. So we understand this is a specialized, it's not even really a prosecution, it's a persecution. They've taken the blindfold off of Lady Justice, and they're using laser focus to come after somebody that they believe is their political enemy. But that is happening to a lot of people. And there's so many different areas where this is happening, especially in speech and censorship. You're seeing people now in Europe being sent to prison. In Canada, they've got a bill to send people perhaps even to life in prison because of speech issues, and to do it before they say anything, do it in a pre-crime way. I mean, it truly is amazing. There's so many different, it's like shock and awe when I look at it, you know, hitting us with everything all at once, everywhere, to take away every foundation of the Bill of Rights and everything else that Western civilization has had and built over millennia.
See, Socialist Democratic Party right now is turning our country into something I escaped from. And you can talk, if you listen to immigrants who escape the totalitarian socialist countries, they are alarmed. I mean, on my account on LinkedIn, which is heavily censored, of course, mm-hmm. or Facebook, heavily censored. I have people calling me and messaging me that they are scared because that is what they experience in former communist countries. Because, you know, the goal, I think, is not to make America communist state. But please remember that socialism and communism are excellent tools to control society. So why not to implement? I mean, it will not succeed on the long run, and it takes decades. But it takes decades to free yourself from the yoke of communism and socialism, if even possible. Because if the technology that exists today existed in 1980s and 70s, when I lived in a communist country, these countries would stay communist.
Yeah, I agree.
People would not be themselves.
And so I think that's their plan. I think if they're looking at, you know, if you look at Strauss and Howe, people on this show, I talk about it a great deal. The people who coined the term millennial or Gen Z and all this, everybody uses those terms, but they don't talk about the big picture that they were talking about, which is every four generations you have, the institutions are completely changed. It's almost always, well, it is always massive economic change, and it is usually accompanied with war. And then you wind up with a society that, whether it's good or bad, the change, usually wind up with that for about 70 years. I think these people are expecting, you know, we're in that time right now. We're in the middle of a fourth generation where everything is turning. I think they believe that if they win this, they're going to be able to hold on to it longer than that with the tools that they've got. And as you point out, the people who have lived in it, they're sounding the alarm. Rod Dreher wrote a book a few years ago saying, Live Not by Lies, which he quoted from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He said, the reason I wrote this book is because I had friends whose parents escaped communism, and they were freaking out. And they said, we're seeing exactly the same stuff we lived under. I talked to Xi Van Fleet, who got out of China. She grew up in China, and she said, all the same stuff that's being done in the schools now. She goes, it's not woke, it's Marxism. And she wrote a book, Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning to America. She said, the anti-racism that you see, she said, that was struggle sessions is what they called it in China. But it's exactly the same thing. And so they're using these same techniques because they work. It's just that simple. Yes, but they're going to also have the technology as a multiplier as well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You see, when I wrote my book, my intention was to showcase America as the most beautiful, powerful, unique, exceptional country, with free country. So now, but I wanted this book to be used as a prism to see America this way, through the prism of socialism and communism, how oppressive the socialism really is. But now when people read it, I get also a lot of messages say, hey, what you describe in your book, isn't something that's happening here in our country now?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. This is what really disturbs me. It really sometimes... it scares me too. Yeah. So again, we are not socialist communists yet. That's right. We just need to make sure that we don't become one. And this is why the processes are accelerating, because there is a man who exposed all these shenanigans, and they may not have much time, because once people see what it really is, nobody will follow it. And even now, you know, most majority of our people do not support that socialist oppression, do not support communism. But we are being told by the manipulative fake news media that majority of people would like to have that socialist state, which is absolutely not true. But the same thing happened in communist Poland, where there's maybe 10% of people, hardcore communists like my father, but the rest of people love and hate communism and socialism. But when you read the fake news media in Poland at the communist times behind Iron Curtain, you would think that majority of Poles are loving that socialism and communism, because this is the way the propaganda works. This is why censorship is so important to
We saw that a lot in 2020. You know, there were a lot of us, at least a third of us, who didn't want the mask, didn't want the lockdown, weren't afraid of the so-called pandemic and all the rest of the stuff. But we were led to believe that we were alone, because they would cover up our stories and they would amplify the other side of this. And so this has always been the case. And I'm sure, especially when you grew up in communist Poland, I know in Russia, they used to have two papers. They had Izvestia and Pravda, and one of them meant news, the other one meant truth. And they said there's no truth in Pravda, there's no news in Izvestia. The people were not really fooled by it, but they felt helpless, and they really couldn't do anything about it. And that's what Solzhenitsyn would talk about. In your experience, you're growing up, and you're a young person in Poland, your dad is a communist. What was it that gave you the courage to go against this grain rather than just going along?
You see, I'm saying my father was a high-ranking communist in Poland, in Polish government, but I really didn't have much contact with him until I was 16 years old, because of the poverty. I had to be sent either to orphanage or to live with my father. And eventually, father agreed to take me in. I lasted there only 1 year before he kicked me out. But by this time, my ideals were shaped by my mother, by my mother's family. And so when I went up there, the first question I asked him, like, so if everybody loves socialism so much, which I don't see among my friends, but as my father, but what about those people who do not support socialism and communism? What about them? Well, the answer was very quick and simple. We need to eliminate them. So, and the way we say, how? Well, the first, we're going to ban them. We're going to cancel them. We're going to remove them from society, basically, intellectually. So it happened. You know, the statues were removed that did not support socialist ideology. The books were removed from libraries and banned. But so I said, well, okay, but what if they still don't like socialism? Well, that is the final solution. Then we're going to just physically exterminate them because they are in the way of progress to socialism and communism. They are such a great states. So that was his ideas, my father's ideas, that, you know, you try to convince them, but if they don't buy it, you arrest them, cancel them, put them in jails, and eventually that doesn't help, you just kill them.
Yeah. And that's what we're seeing now with the speech stuff. You know, we've been shadow banned. We were overtly banned. And then now, you know, they are, and then publicly humiliated. Now they want to start putting people in jail, and they are putting people in jail.
We have political prisoners today. These people sitting in the Democrats' dungeons in Washington, D.C. are just political prisoners like I was in communist state.
Yes.
Please remember one thing. It is so vain. I don't know even how they sold it to people. Governments cannot be overthrown by people waving hands and flags.
Yeah.
And they tried to tell us that there was coup attempt and tried to overthrow government, our government. By who? People waving flags?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was no way they were going I told people, I said, don't go, it's a trap, because there's nothing you can do. They're not going to show up with weapons and have a shootout, and they didn't show up with weapons, and yet now they're gone to prison because they construed it as if they had shown up with weapons or something. And it's the power of the press to be able to spin a media, and it is this government that we have that is absolutely unashamed to openly violate the Constitution and the rule of law.
Absolutely. Let me tell you this, that President Trump, by questioning election results, didn't commit any crime. Most of the people in our country now question these results. 81 million people for mentally deficient men who never even campaign. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. For me, these elections, not 2020, had all the hallmarks of socialist election. Socialist election, this term is not very well understood here. It's not very common, but it's very well understood in former communist countries. Socialist elections are the elections where communists and Marxists always win. Those are what we call socialist elections. And these elections, 2020, had all the hallmarks of socialist elections. Questioning and challenging the results of election is not a crime. It is only crime in communist countries or Nazi fascist countries and run by communists like my father. So that saying that we have an insurrection is a hoax, is another hoax, and is a nonsense. I've seen insurrections. I live in Poland when Czechoslovakia 1968 happened. That was tanks and guns being used.
Yeah.
People with flags waving hands, with American flags and waving hands, cannot overthrow our government. It's a hoax.
Yeah. And they very carefully controlled the videos that they released to make it, who did the first shoving, you know, because that's what it was, fist fights and stuff like that. So who shoved first? And they controlled that completely.
You compare it to Portland or other cities when Democrats unleashed their terror groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter on our society. They burned entire cities, they murdered people. This is, we're talking about the riots. But there was not even the riots. People, if you look at the videos, the recently released videos, you can see police guiding people around the Capitol. People seeing walking there. Yeah, some misbehave. But you know what? That will always happen. There will always, please also remember that this crowd was infiltrated by state entities who did instigate it. What I believe failed on January 6th, the biggest failure was Democrats being unable to instigate widespread mayhem and violence. And that didn't happen. So that kind of put off a lot of their ideas, what they want to do. But their, I believe their ideas was to
And it's interesting that they're
also conservative.
I think it's interesting that they're escalating the arrests now, because they just come after a reporter for The Blaze who was there as a reporter. I mean, clearly he's the, you know, but of course, if you don't have the right, if you don't have part of the First Amendment to assemble and redress your grievances, you don't have the right to report either, right? So they're coming after him. They just arrested him, took him off in handcuffs. One of the people that I used to work with, Sam Montoya, they arrested him and he was doing journalist work. You know, he was there and he didn't push or shove anybody. We've seen three guys that I talked about, two elderly guys, and one of them was the son of one of the two guys. They're in their early 70s. They just walked up to the police and said, can I use the restroom? They said, yeah, it's right around here. They're charging them. I want to give them a five-year jail sentence. It is absolutely absurd. And I guess here's my question for you. What do you think is really behind all this? Because everybody sees the absurdity of this. Are they doing this to provoke? Are they doing this in election year to provoke? There is a small loyal base to them that eats all this stuff up, just accepts it, whatever the mainstream media says to them. But for most people, I think they look at this and they say, this is really over the top, as we're talking about. Do they want to do that? Is this another provocation trying to provoke something? What do you think?
I don't believe so, but I think they are not afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Their goal is to terrorize the society into submission. And if you start, you know, I know this from my experience in communist state, in communist country behind the Iron Curtain. It starts big, of course. So now we have a President Trump being attacked by this administration. Now we have a citizens being attacked. More prominent citizens. But please remember, once they are done with them, the next is you in line. So for right now I can say whatever I want to say, but pretty soon, for what I'm saying now, I might be looking over my shoulder because the way the socialism works.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Socialism is socialism, whether it is Hitler socialism, national socialism, Joseph Stalin socialism, Polish at the time socialism in my father, and communists in Poland called it Polish socialism, a democratic socialism. And we know how many there are thousands of people are dead just in Poland, not talking about other democratic socialist countries in Eastern Europe. So socialism is socialism, and they all have many things in common, like censorship, persecution of political opponents, mm-hmm. political prisoners, and even kill political assassination, killing more inconvenient people to the state. So we need to be careful. I see a lot of enamoration in our younger generation with socialism. They try to differentiate, well, socialism is not the communism. Well, it's not as bad yet, but it's the stepping stone mm-hmm. to socialism. Mm-hmm. This we're taught in our schools in Poland and in Eastern Europe that socialism is the stepping stone to communism. Society needs to be prepared to accept the values, the moral values of communism, so that the socialism allow this gradual transition into full communism. God help us.
I agree. Whenever they sell a socialism, it's always a common thing. Is always the superiority of the collective to the individual, the superiority of the state. And we saw that in spades throughout 2020. Your health doesn't matter. You're going to do what we say to say, you got to take a vaccine so you can save everybody else, all that type of stuff. So that is a key part of it. But I think the solution for this stuff is books like yours, the Pledge to America, where you talk about, you have a very compelling story, your experience with the Navy SEALs, and it gives people an opportunity to, and you're growing up in a communist country, and people can look at that and say, wow, that looks like what they're doing here. All the different testimonies that we see of people who escaped communism, they know what it was like, they can smell it a mile away, and they're warning us, and people need to see these compelling personal stories about how people have escaped this. I think it's very important. And I've got, let me get your comment on this, Drago. This last week, I think we had a victory of some sort in Ireland. You had the progressives. They thought they had everybody on the run. They were able to modify the Constitution and get abortion put in there, or at least stop the prohibition of abortion in the Constitution. So then they came back and they decided that they were going to essentially attack motherhood and the family, redefine all of that in the Constitution. And they got slapped down overwhelmingly, about just under 70% on one of the issues and almost three quarters on the other issue. People didn't want to have it. And I think that's one of the key things. And I think that's a key thing in your story, because as you point out, you know, your mother was the influence on you. And we've lost the importance, and that's one of the things that was in the Irish Constitution, the important function of a mother, the important function of a family, to shape a society where people have a good life. And I think that was a situation with you, if tell me if I'm mistaken, but it was, you know, we used to talk about the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so in these socialist countries, in this country, you know, Biden wants to give free, you know, preschool care. They want to raise your kids and they're going to pay for it. We need to take that responsibility away from the state, and we need to reassert the importance of the family, the importance of the mother. And I think that's the key thing. It's why I ask you, you know, what was it that turned you around? And it seems like it was your mother, those who were close to you. You weren't close to your father, the communist, but it was, you were close to those who had a different take on this. What do you think? Is that really what we need to focus on, in building the family and building those relationships? What do you think?
You see what turned me around, and I think this is a good lesson for everybody here too. The power of socialist state and the control they have over our children, that we need to take it back here. Yes. But what happened to me is, when I said something in my fifth grade, it was about the Russian language. I didn't want to learn Russian language. I was not the best student in the class. For me, the additional Russian language was just another homework I had to do at home. So I just piped up at school openly to teacher, why do they teach us Russian language? The oppressor of Poland. This is the way Poles understood. Mm-hmm. They seen Russian time. So that was like, I didn't think much of it, but immediately the teacher walked up to me, grabbed me by my ear. There was a method that in all schools, I guess, in Poland it worked, pulled me by the ear out of the class to the school principal. And they called police. So the police, before came to school, they went, my mother was a teacher in different school. They picked her up, they detained her. And they handcuffed her. They brought her to my school. They sat us down, and there was two uniform officers and two secret police officers. And they interrogated us. And then they made it pretty clear that if this incident like this repeats itself, if I'm speaking up about socialism in not positive manner, I will be removed from my mom and placed in orphanage, the government orphanage, that I will be taught properly. Yeah. So that was the one of the things that made me think, and of course scared my mother. And then the other experiences within my family, when state went and destroyed my uncle's business because he was working too hard and was competing with government businesses and with the business owned by communist cronies. Wow. So that not only destroyed his business, they almost killed him. Wow. So that, and this is who taught me how to listen to Radio Free Europe, Radio Voice of America. And this is where I started learning about the real Polish history, because it was so falsified. Please remember, after Second World War, when communists were brought on Russian bayonets to Poland, we had the statues were removed that were not aligned with socialism. The books were removed from libraries. Yeah. And didn't know about it. I learned about it later on.
That's what people need to understand. People need to understand how parallel all of that stuff is. Again, the book is The Pledge to America. Thank you so much for joining us, Drago. And pronounce your last name there. People probably won't be able to spell, but if they get D-R-A-G-O and The Pledge to America, they'll be able to find that book, right?
They'll be able to find it, yes.
Good,
They'll be able to find it.
And we've got your website's been up there the entire time, so people will be able to find your website as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for speaking out and trying to educate people so that we don't have to replicate what other people have learned the hard way. You know, that's the one thing they say, the experience is an expensive school, but it's the only one a fool will attend. And let's hope that our society is not so foolish that we have to go through this experience before we learn the lesson that people who've grown up in communist or socialist countries learned. Thank you so much for joining us, Drago. Appreciate it. Thank you for your service. Appreciate
it. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting.
Thank you. Have a good day. Have a good weekend, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. Trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.